Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
And now the pitch by Martinez is up and in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez, and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he's grabbed from behind by Varitek, and now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yashinsky wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate. And Yashinsky not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go.
Step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posenda getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Redemption, nope. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can catch that on the Les Schwab Tires podcast, 10 of the Fan, the Odyssey app.
Show's flying.
It's like Big John's in the house. Beers on Us podcast will drop tomorrow at 4, also wherever you get your podcasts, including 10ofthefan.com and the Odyssey app.
Just real quickly, because we had Big John on last week, and we opened baseball cards. That night, I went through my little shoebox of baseball cards.
I found mine as well. I haven't gone through them yet.
I went through mine when I went home for Jersey.
I found some gems, boys. Old 80s, 90s card.
Oh, of your personal stuff or the stuff we got from John?
My personal stuff. Some good ones in there.
Because I found out we've been doing it with John for 5 years because I have four packs and I missed last year.
Mm, okay. I found a lot of NBA and NFL cards in my old binder that my parents had saved when they moved. But I did have a pretty good amount of baseball cards. I looked up some values of some. I didn't have anything of great value, though. But it was cool to look through the old cards. And old, like, Oakland A's, Mark McGwire.
I haven't looked.
Cool. I had a couple of those, yeah.
I haven't looked at mine because that means I have to go to my mother's. And I guess I am different than you two, and that sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, my God.
So my mother is a wonderful woman. That sounds like a nightmare.
I don't know what to believe. That statement or the first statement?
They're all true. All of them are true.
They're not mutually exclusive.
No. They are all true. Yeah. So I want to talk about some players. Okay. I want to talk about some players. I want to talk about some people you think are either going to have great years, rough years, breakout years. I just want to, like, get the juices going, you know? And I'm going to start with this. The best player in baseball is Mike Trout.
Correct.
And this might be the best team Mike Trout's ever been a part of.
Correct.
Which is the saddest thing I've ever said when it comes to Mike Trout.
Yeah, boy, have the Angels failed the best player in baseball, huh?
I want to see if this guy can hit 340 with 45 bombs and 120 RBIs. I think I am literally on the Mike Trout wagon again to see if this guy can just keep doing what he does. And I know this sounds like a cop-out. Oh, yeah, you want to watch Mike Trout? Oh, yeah, Mike Trout's really good. But no, Mike Trout is really good. I want to see if he's got it.
I think this year still will be the first time that casual baseball fans see more of Mike Trout because the team appears to be better.
Right.
Like I said last segment, the pitching staff is still a concern.
Still not very good, but you know what I mean.
But he now has a lineup around him that should hopefully protect him a little bit better and allow him to see even more at-bats with guys on base. You know, you'll see the gems in center field, of course, and you'll see his crazy, violent, home run swing. But I hope that you get more cut-ins of Mike Trout, and I hope that you get more live games for the Angels this year because you're getting Anthony Rendon, too, and you got the Ohtani factor. And, you know, you got some young guys on the offense, like David Fletcher, who came up last year, was very good.
We both love him.
Yep. I think you're going to see a better version of Mike Trout this year, if that's even possible, because he finally has some more support.
God, I hope it's possible. And my second thing, you know, and then I'll turn this over to you, Mike. My second thing is actually related to you, Michael Lynch.
Okay.
My good friend, my old friend. This, I feel like for a team that is getting the respect they deserve, I feel like the Yankees are flying a touch under the radar this year.
I would probably agree with that.
And I'm kind of interested to see how it goes. Now, the biggest knock is outside of Gerrit Cole, what's your staff going to look like? Not that it's going to be bad.
High ceiling, high risk.
What's it going to look like? But I'm also interested, I want to see what Judge plays like. I want to
stay healthy.
I want to see if Stanton can play healthy.
That dude's been lighting it up in spring training.
I want to see extra years of Gio Urshela, you know, Gleyber Torres. I want to see if Gary Sanchez can get himself out of a pile. Like Aaron Hicks, right? I want to see those guys. Clint Frazier, I hope he doesn't die in a train wreck, but massively survives a giant train wreck where a lot of people are injured. I think the Yankees are a very interesting thing. A lot of people are picking them because they don't watch baseball and they're like, well, the Yankees are good. They're loaded. That's a hold up for me in the American League. There's a lot to be proven from this Yankee team, and it's intriguing to me.
Well, we talked about it when we did the AL East a couple weeks ago, that the American League is not exactly filled with great teams right now.
Right. Which is funny because it's flipped.
It used to be that way.
And massively over the last 2 years.
So the Yankees, I think, by default, are the best team. And I would agree that they are the best team.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I'll go with you on that.
Sure. White Sox could be up there, too. Maybe the Astros or A's, whatever.
Yeah, I'll give you the Rays. I would say the Yanks are the best team on paper in the American League.
I do kind of agree with that, though, because just for me, kind of stalking baseball writers and the comment sections on Twitter and stuff like that, the talk is the Dodgers.
Obviously.
The talk is the Padres.
For good reasons on both of them.
And frankly, the talk is the White Sox.
Yep.
That's kind of the three big teams that are getting discussed early season.
That's what everybody's talking about.
And you are right that the Yankees are flying under the radar for as potentially good as they're going to be. And I think the key this year is health. If you can get...
It's been the biggest fit of the last couple of years for the Yankees, without a doubt.
And to be fair, it has begun again. Zach Britton's out for the first month or two of the season. Luke Voigt's out for the first month or two of the season.
Non si può stopparlo.
He tore his meniscus. Great. But if you can keep Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton in the same lineup for 120, 30 games this year, all of a sudden the scrappy bunch of young guys who had to fill in for all the injuries becomes the juggernaut offense you thought it was going to be. And you saw in the shortened season last year and in spring training, Stanton is getting back to Miami Stanton. Maybe not 60.
To Mike Stanton.
Right.
To Mike Lynch Stanton.
Maybe not 59 home runs again or whatever. Was it 59 that year? However many home runs he hit that season.
Yeah, MVP I think 59. Season. 58, 59. It's high 50s.
But if you can imagine Judge and Stanton back-to-back in the lineup, both hitting 35 to 40 home runs, right? Reasonably.
You got two guys hitting 50 home runs. That's a lot.
I mean, I said 35, 40, but if you want to go up to 50, I would love that.
I'm just saying between them, if one gets hot and gets extra and the other's a little behind.
And I mean, you mentioned Frazier because you don't want him to succeed because the Indians traded him. But Frazier, I think, is about ready to finally hit that level that we all thought he was going to. The biggest thing for him is all mental. He has this thing where he wants to feel accepted for who he is.
He's got the yips, my friend.
And early in his career, he felt like the Yankees didn't accept him because he was a little bit different.
So he was struggling in the outfield, struggling at the plate.
They
traded him because he sucks in the outfield.
Well, he's actually become a decent outfielder now. I'm not going to say good, but decent. And he's got the confidence that he needs.
Right.
I've seen his videos. I've seen his interviews. That dude is cocky as hell right now. And because of that, I am super high on Clint Frazier this year. He's going to be hitting like eighth or ninth in the lineup. He's still going to hit like 280, 25 bombs, 60, 70 RBIs, something like that.
And the Yanks will need that. They'll need the Yankees. I think the Yankees are clearly loaded up top. It's all going to be the bottom of the order.
Yep.
It's Aaron Hicks. It's Clint Frazier.
Well, Hicks is going to hit third.
Oh, Hicks. Okay, so excuse me on that.
Because of his on base.
Oh, hey, excuse me on that. I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
I think the bottom third is going to be Gio, Sanchez, and Clint Frazier.
Yeah, so it's going to be Sanchez and Clint Frazier. Can they come through and be big parts of that bottom of the lineup?
Yep.
Let's slide over to, let's just make some quick predictions. I know we're against the clock. Who do you like to have a big year that isn't Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis Jr., Francisco Lindor?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like to have big years? I will throw Ronald Acuna Jr. in that as well.
Bobby Dalbec.
Did you say that on the air or in my ear?
No. I put it out there for the masses.
I can't tell sometimes.
Let's go, Bobby.
Well, I'm going to throw this out there. A texter yelled at me because I didn't mention him. Adley Rutschman.
Okay.
I think Adley Rutschman, when he comes up, is going to surprise a lot of people because that was one thing that guy could always do at Oregon State. And what he's been able to do in his first year and a half with the Orioles organization is hit. Mm-hmm. Adley Rutschman is an incredible hitter.
We'll see how he is as a catcher, but I don't think the Orioles are worried about him as a catcher right now. Let's just see if he can hit.
The production room just got real warm.
Are you Joe Mauer 2.0? Because that would be a huge hit.
It would.
Joe Mauer was a phenomenal player.
Honestly, I think Rutschman could be better hitting-wise than Mauer because he's got more power.
And I really don't want to go through this again because of Matt Wieters. So, please, Joe Mauer.
Matt Wieters was good early in his career, though.
This show loved Matt Wieters. So at least I did.
Be Joe Mauer 2.0, I pray.
I'm going to give a little love to this texter that texts this in. I think this could be the coming out party for Juan Soto. I think Juan Soto is on the cover of MLB 2K. He is getting the love as he deserves. Juan Soto is Bryce Harper who?
Right.
And that intrigues me. This national team intrigues me just in general. It's like, how do you survive post-World Series, post-Rendon, post-Harper, which they obviously won without Harper. But, you know, they had a rough year last year. It's COVID. Who knows? Juan Soto, this kid is super legit if he pulls it together. And I think he's my, of the non-sexy people we're talking about.
Although I kind of think Soto's in that sexy range, or he's right on that border.
He probably is, but I'll cheat because my name is first on the show, and I will say Juan Soto.
I'm also going to bring up, I mentioned it, Anthony Rendon. Had kind of a slow year in his first year in the big contract with the Angels, but Rendon is a special hitter, man. He's really good.
He really is.
He's great at getting on base. He's a good fielder.
Nationals don't win that World Series without Anthony Rendon.
I think Rendon's a sneaky MVP pick this season in the American League just because of what he can do with the bat. I also, this is not a specific player, but one of those guys on the Blue Jays is finally going to have that OS year, whether it's Vlad Jr. or Bo Bichette or Kevin Biggio or Teoscar Hernandez.
Oh, I love Teoscar.
Or whoever. Right.
God, I love Teoscar.
They got a bunch of young players that are right there on the brink. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them have fully hit that like superstar status yet. I think one of them this year, maybe two of them, are going to finally hit that spot. I don't know if George Springer coming in is going to help him, give him a little more protection in the lineup. He'll be hitting leadoff.
He's going to start on the IL.
Yeah. But I think one of those guys or two of those guys might finally hit that pop year.
Lot to look forward to. When we come back, I want to slide this again and keep on this trend of who might surprise you in terms of players, but I want to switch this to teams. Let's get rid of the White Sox, the Padres, the Dodgers, the Yankees, And let's look at who could be the surprise team of the year. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Well, Jeff Passan just gave us a little bit of bomb here. Francisco Lindor and the New York Mets have agreed to a 10-year, $341 million deal. If you're following this, they basically offered him 10 years, $325. His camp countered with 12 years, $385. Sounds like they are settling on 10 years, $341, which, if my memory is correct,
you are correct.
Okay. If my memory is correct, that makes Francisco Lindor the third highest paid player in baseball.
Mike Trout, number one.
Trout, one.
Number two.
Betts, two. Frankie, three.
Tatis, four.
Four.
Harper, five.
Harper, five. Machado, six.
Stanton, six.
Oh, Giancarlo.
Gerrit Cole, seven. Manny Machado, eight.
Non si può stopparlo.
I think everyone else is getting a better deal than that one. Sorry, Mike. I had to take a shot. But good for Frankie Lindor. I mean, obviously, if you listen to the show.
He did trade for the deal, so I guess that makes it a little bit better.
If you listen to the show, you know that Francisco Lindor is my favorite player in baseball. I love that Pete Alonso tweeted out the other day, pay the man $400 million. He deserves it. 10 years, $341. Frankie has had a baller preseason. I expect a huge year from him. Good for him.
Yep, good for him. Good for the Mets.
Good for the Mets, too.
Wouldn't it have been the most Mets thing ever
if he walked
to trade for Frankie Lindor? And his deadline, by the way, was, I think, in 40 minutes. I think it was midnight tonight.
He will not. He did this with the Indians. He will not negotiate in the season because he loves baseball so much that he wants to focus on baseball.
And he said the deadline was tonight, and it's the final year of his deal. And if the Mets didn't give him what he wanted, I think Lindor could have held it against him and been like, look, you guys had a chance and you didn't do it.
Yeah.
And they bucked up and got it done.
That's Frankie Lindor, man.
It would have been so typical Mets if they messed this up.
I agree. Steve Cohen went to Twitter to try to, like, battle about it on Twitter. Like, come on, dude. Like, be happy that you own the Mets and be happy that you have Frankie Lindor, especially because the prospects you sent us are garbage. So thank you. And good for Frankie. He deserves it. I don't, you know, you look at these things. Is Mike Trout the best player in baseball? Yes. Is Mookie Betts the second best player in baseball? Yes. After that, I don't know where it really starts. Lindor is in that conversation. I don't know if he's the third best player in baseball. But when you look at the guys behind him, Fernando Tatis, Gerrit Cole, Bryce Harper, like, those names are of the upper echelon. So good for Frankie. I'm happy for you. I will probably buy a Mets number 12 Lindor t-shirt jersey. Not a real one, just a t-shirt.
Well, they're bringing the black back, apparently.
I don't care.
What?
I'm not a Mets fan.
I say that because...
Wait, am I a Mets fan? They have my favorite player and my favorite pitcher maybe on their team.
Well, you said you were about to let go of the Indians fandom, so...
Nah,
especially because Terry Francona, you know.
Tito's still around.
Well, but, you know, he hid Mickey Callaway's issues.
Non-confirmed.
Yeah, well, you know he did, though.
I got the reigning Cy Young winner.
Because he's old school.
You know, we got six Cy Youngs since 2010.
I asked because if you're going to get a jersey or a shirt, the black is a pretty cool look for the Mets. Would you get a black Lindor shirt jersey?
No.
Jersey?
Nope.
You'd go blue?
I get the blue.
Okay.
I get the blue. I want the blue and the orange. Frankie's hair is blue and orange. I'm a Frankie kid. We were talking about players you want to watch and how they succeed. And I want to switch this over to teams just as we're basically screwing around on this show, right? I hope the bosses aren't listening because we are basically screwing around right now.
Are we? I think we've got a lot of positive energy today and we're just kind of flowing. We're following the waves, man.
This has nothing to do with energy, man. This has everything to do with, like, we don't care. We're just doing whatever the hell we want to do.
Well, baseball starts tomorrow. Hell yeah, man.
And I want to give a second to some teams that we want to look at. Teams that might excite you that you don't expect. So here's the teams that are not allowed in this conversation, as we did with players. No Yankees, no Braves, no Dodgers, no Padres, no White Sox, and no Astros because they're a bunch of cheaters and nobody likes them.
Okay. And you're asking me teams I'm excited about or teams I think will surprise?
Teams that you think will surprise, that you will catch that game, that it might be like you look at it and you go, oh, man. Flaherty versus Castillo, Cardinals, Reds. No. I'm going to skip that game to watch because I want to see this team. No, I mean, that was a bad example because that might be one of the teams, but but that's what I'm talking about. Like, who is a team that you might skip watching the ESPN, MLB TV, Fox Sports marquee matchup because you're like, this one excites me a little more.
Well, I'm going to start with the Toronto Blue Jays. I think they're just going to be a fun team to watch this year. They were fun last year, and we get a full season of these guys.
All the White Sox maybe a couple years ago?
Yeah, I'm curious to see if Ryu can do it again because he was really good last year in his first year there, and they gave him big bucks to do it. And I, like I said last segment, I think a couple of those young guys are going to finally get that star-level season under their belt. So I'd say probably the Blue Jays to start. Honestly, there's not a ton of teams that I think are going to be surprises this year.
Think it's a little top heavy.
I think it's very top heavy. I think a lot of the middling teams are going to be middling. You know, I think the Marlins will probably be better than people think, but they're not going to be great by any measure. I think the Royals will be better than some people think, but they're not going to be great. The Orioles, I think, will be the same example, right? Those three teams, I think, will outperform expectations, but they're not going to be surprise teams. So I think, honestly, it's the Blue Jays and that's kind of it. Like, I think that's the potential surprise team because they're right on that border of entering the playoff conversation on a yearly basis. Everyone else is kind of either there or not, and there's really no in between.
Yeah, I'm interested in the Rays bounce back, you know, losing Blake Snell, but the rest of the team is for the most part intact. I'm really interested in Glasnow and his extra pitches. Obviously, I spoke about the Mets. I'm interested in that. I'm interested to see. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. I'm interested to see if the A's can do the A's thing. Some fun things that I'm actually kind of interested in. I'm interested in the Brewers. I want to see they have guys on the offense. Now, they clearly have this. It's almost like an Oakland thing with their pitching staff of just look at the metrics. Woodruff should be a reliever, but he's had some success as a starter. You know, they're playing the Twins. I think the Twins are another thing. They both got former players who are young managers in Baldelli for the Brewers Baldelli for the Twins and Council for the Brewers.
Although Council's been there for like 7 years
now. Right, but I'm interested to see how they progress in that. And I'm interested in the Nationals. So I would say Brewers, Twins, just to see, and the Nationals as well.
Well, I think the NL East is the most interesting division.
Oh, without a doubt.
So, I mean, you could say all five of those teams, when they play each other, will have interesting games.
Yeah, the Phillies will finish last, despite being maybe the best team on paper.
They won't finish last, but it'll still be the Marlins coming up in the rear because skill-wise, they're still down there. But
I don't know, man.
Lots of young guys are going to be coming up this year.
I don't know, man. I don't know. And so
Braves, Mets, 1-2. Phillies, Nats, 3-4. In some order, and then Marlins 5.
Who's going to surprise you real quick before we get into fantasy and then we wrap up the show in the last half hour? Who do you think is going to be the surprising bad team of the year? So we know the Red Sox are going to be bad. The Orioles, no offense, Joe, you're building. Those who were not poo-pooing on you, they're building. The Pirates obviously are terrible. Diamondbacks are going to be terrible. Rockies are going to be terrible. Rangers, Royals. Which of these teams that should make a little noise do you think might actually be worse than you actually think?
Well, I do think the Red Sox, for a lot of people, will be a surprising bad team. I think the three of us kind of see it coming, but I still
maybe think... Maybe the rest don't.
I think the rest still think... Not that they're going to be a playoff team, they know that, but I think the rest don't see them as a bottom feeder, and I'm not so sure the Red Sox are going to be better than a bottom feeder this year.
They were bad last year.
I think the surprise team that could be bad is the Cubs.
I love that call.
I think it's the Cubs.
I love that call. I think the Cubs are such hot garbage and no one's talking about them. Kyle Hendricks is going to pitch on your opening day. Good for you. Kyle Hendricks was great. 5 years ago when they won a World Series in 2016 and he won the Cy Young. Congratulations. You're not re-signing Anthony Rizzo. Baez is going to walk at the end of the year. Castillo is going to walk in 2 years.
You know you have a problem when your closer is still Craig Kimbrel.
And you owe him like 25 a year.
I mean, that's the weird thing about this is when you look at the lineup, you're like, man, that's still a good lineup, right? Contreras and Rizzo and Bryan and Baez, et cetera. And you got Jock Peterson this year. But what have you done for me lately, Cubs? All of those players. Baez was good last year. What have you done for me lately?
He swings at everything.
I mean, and the staff is a joke.
Staff's an absolute joke.
Hendricks says your ace. Okay. He had a low ERA.
Lester's in Washington. Quintana's in Anaheim.
Yep.
They sent.
You got Arrieta.
They sent Darvish to San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Right now, their staff is Kyle Hendricks, Zach Davies, Jake Arrieta, Trevor Williams, and a guy you'd never heard of. So you got Hendricks, who has been your guy, Davies, who you got in the Darvish trade, Arrieta, who you got off the scrap heap, and Trevor Williams, who is from the Pirates. I don't know if they traded for him or got him off the scrap heap.
Scrap heap.
That is a really, really mediocre pitching staff. Your bullpen is not much better.
I am going to... Oh, their bullpen has always been an issue, even when they won a World Series. I'm going to one-up you, and I'm going to take a stab at a team that people think will be decent. I think the Phillies are going to be bad.
You mentioned it, yeah.
I think outside of Aaron Nola, I think this team is really going to struggle pitching-wise. And Bryce Harper is Bryce Harper, but we've seen him a year and a half. You know, I count the COVID year as a half. He seems complacent. You know, I've been on the record. I've been on the record on this show. I don't love Bryce Harper. I've never loved Bryce Harper. I find him complacent.
I guess looking at the team, you're right. They got Real Muto. Don't forget.
They got him back, but they got him back on a short-year deal because I think he knows. Yeah, it's like a 5-year deal.
Well, it's not super short. For a catcher, that's pretty good length.
Yeah, but he can go to first base if he can still hit. I think this team, I like Girardi as a manager. I've always liked Girardi as a manager. I liked Gabe Kapler as a manager before Girardi. I just think this team is full.
Now with the Giants.
I just think this team is full of a bunch of players that aren't as good as the name on the back of their jersey.
Understood.
And
I can see that being the case, especially now that they're in a division that is incredibly difficult.
The Cubs make sense because they just don't have the guys. The Phillies should be decent, and I just think they're going to be garbage. I think they're going to finish dead last in that division, and I don't think it's going to be close.
You think the Marlins are going to finish in fourth?
Without a doubt.
Hmm.
I don't even know if the Marlins are going to finish in fourth. The Mets have a lot of holes.
I mean, sure, but...
The Nationals have a lot of holes.
Yes, true. I think the Mets are a surefire top two team in that division.
We'll see. Well, they got Frankie.
Because they got a bunch of guys on offense who were good last year. And you brought
the
in
Mets?
They got
Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Conforto.
Dominic Smith had a great year last year.
Yeah.
And you brought in James McCann, a catcher, who... Yep.
Great signing for them.
That's one of those signings that, again, we've been talking about casual versus diehard today.
Everyone thought they were going to go Real Muto, and they got McCann on the cheap, and he might be the same player.
Nobody knows who McCann is.
Right.
But 2 years ago, McCann was the best hitting catcher in baseball. He had like 310.
Surprised the White Sox didn't keep him.
Last year, he dropped back a little bit in regression. He's good. And you've got DeGrom and Stroman and Carrasco, and eventually Syndergaard's going to come back.
And you know how I feel about Marcus Stroman this year. This is a big year for Marcus Stroman.
I took
Stroman.
Him from you in one of our leagues.
You should have, and I saw that, and I was really mad. And I said, oh, you're stealing my draft picks. Got it.
No, you said I love that pick.
Because I like you. If it was anybody else, I would have been like, F you, no, middle finger emojis.
You said I was stealing your draft picks for Trent Grisham.
Oh, yeah.
Which I did steal your draft.
Because you listen to me, and my drafts have been better than yours. Speaking of drafts, that's what we'll do next. Let's get into a little fantasy baseball. We'll touch on it. I don't want to do it a whole lot throughout the entire season, but I do want to touch on it a little bit because baseball is the ultimate fantasy sport. So we'll get into that. This is the Hot Corner. But first, that's my man, Joseph Fisher III with sports.
fantasy baseball is easy if you know what you're doing.
Who's winning? What is occurring?
Which player should be in your lineup card?
I have today's forecast for you. Hot!
And who should be sitting next to you in the dugout?
We're going back to work on fundamentals.
Fundamentals. In the middle of the season?
This is the Fantasy Grind, part of the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Just want to give a shout out. I was here at 4:45 this morning filling in for Jason Swigard, if you've ever heard of him, to do my favorite show. And that includes my show. My favorite show here on 1080 The Fan. That would be Dirt and Sprague in the morning. They've moved to 6 to 9, which broke my heart. I felt like I got divorced from my favorite lover of all time. Brandon Sprague wants us to, he texted in 503-250-1080. He wants us to talk the Braves. Hey. Look, man, we're here to talk about
teams. Go to sleep, Sprague. You got to wake up in 2 hours.
Yeah, you got to wake up, and we're here to talk about things you don't expect. We expect your team to be great.
The Braves are winning the NL East. You happy?
I did say that the Braves and Phillies game was the most intriguing to me tomorrow.
I'm a guy who, like, wagered my fantasy life on Mike Fultonavich.
That's
like,
Christopher Walken right
like,
there.
What do you want from me, dude?
Isn't he not on the Braves anymore?
No, he's on the Rangers. Like, Sprague, I got your back, buddy. I want the Braves to get to a World Series like no one's business.
I love
that team.
We both have Max Fried in a different fantasy league.
I love the Braves so much. I picked them to go to the World Series last year and the year before.
And you're going to do it again this year?
And I'm going to do it again this year.
Even though the Dodgers are going to win 130 games.
I'm going to triple down on this because I love the Braves. I love their pitching staff. I love their infield. They got Freddie Freeman, the most underrated player in the game, next to Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, who happen to play on the same team. I love Freddie Freeman. I love Max Fried. Soroka's back. I'm all in on the Braves.
The Braves are one of the
always in on the Braves.
Best teams in the National League.
I'm always in on the Braves right now. I love this squad.
They're so much fun.
Now
go to sleep.
All right. Now go to bed, all right? Blazers played at 4, dude. Get
sleeping. You can get advantage of that.
Just a little NBA note. Andre Drummond already limping back to the locker room for the Lakers.
Shocker, I tell you. Shocker.
And he wears like these sleeves on his toes. Like they're like toe socks. It was very interesting to see.
I'm just joking.
Toe socks.
Like they might just be like bandages, but they were like his big toe and the long toe next to it. I don't know what you call it, but...
The index toe?
Yes.
When your big toe is the size of my left arm, I get it, dude. Sometimes it hurts.
They're like little toe socks.
Are the Lakers winning?
No.
No.
Okay, good.
All right, back to fantasy.
All right. Let's get a little bit of fantasy in. Mike, you and I have both had drafts. And like I said, I don't want to do a ton of...
Both of us are only in 2 leagues and we're in the same league.
Yes. I don't want to do a ton of fantasy throughout the season. I don't want to do it every week. But it is nice to kind of check in on it. Has there been... Not the league specifically that you're in. But have there been players that you have seen that have gone higher than you anticipated... Or steals you've gotten later?
Wow, that's a tough question. Steals I've gotten later, yes. I've been targeting the Oregon State guys later. Nick
sure.
Madrigal,
sure.
As well as Adley Rutschman.
Yep.
Rutschman, because he's in the minors to start, is a guy that is stealable because not everybody knows who he is yet. Although when you're drafting with people who are from the state of Oregon, they do know who he is. Also, Kelenic was a guy that I got late in one round and was trying to get in a different one because you know he's going to come up in a couple of weeks. So I think
see
those are guys
got.
That I would consider as steals. But I think Nick Madrigal is a guy that, especially in a rotisserie league, when so many guys now are swinging for the fences and the guys who fill up those stats that don't hit average, you need a Nick Madrigal who's going to get on base 3 times a game and hit like 330. So I think that's a guy late that you can get that fills that role that you need in your fantasy team for sure. Another thing I was surprised about is both Ohtani pitcher and Ohtani batter are going lower than I expected.
I was really surprised by that as well. The pitcher one doesn't surprise me that much. The hitter one, with how great his spring training has been, did surprise me.
You got him like third to last round.
Yeah, and I got him in 22nd round.
I was about to pick him, and you took him, and I was like, no. Damn it.
I just saw him and I was like, well, why not? Why not? My biggest thing for me, I was surprised that it fell to me in one of our leagues, and I jumped on it because I'm really high on this player. I think this player might be not talking fantasy. I think this player might be the sneaky National League most valuable player. And it's hard to say sneaky because he is the World Series MVP, and that's Corey Seager. I snagged him in the third round, and I was shocked that he was there. He had the Tommy John, which is weird for a shortstop. I was really surprised that he was there. I think Corey Seager might be, outside of Mookie Betts, the best player on the Dodgers not named Walker Buehler. I know I just named two guys, but you know what I mean. I think Corey Seager is the engine that runs that offense. Mookie Betts is the guy. You know what you're getting. It's like Trout. Set, go. Corey Seager, I think, is ready to explode, and that's my guy. And the other thing is Matt Chapman goes so late in these drafts. And
well,
that
he had a little bit of a down year last year.
But it's a COVID year. That's the silliest thing. Third base is a really hard position to draft in fantasy. And Matt Chapman, for my money, is the best in the game.
One guy, and we had someone text in, it's his predicted breakout year. I'm very uncertain what to think about Mike Yastrzemski on the Giants. So Yastrzemski is only in, what, is this the second year, third year now?
Third year, I believe.
I think he's already 31 or 32, so he came up very late. And the Giants are a team that in the last few years have had no offense to speak of. So that's a guy that I saw going fairly high, or at least was sitting at the top of my best available board for multiple rounds, and I was like, I'm not touching this dude. I don't know what to think about him. Maybe that's a huge mistake that I didn't commit to get Yaz, but I don't know. Also, another guy that was high up on the best available board that I kept skipping was Brandon Lau on the Rays.
Yeah.
Lau is a guy who has a lot of power potential, but I need him to prove it to me more. Last year, especially in the playoffs, dude, he was garbage in the playoffs last year for the Rays. So it's one of those things where the potential pushes him up the list, but I'm not sold on him being a guy that I'm going to take in the fourth or fifth round. And that's where his average draft position was like fourth and fifth round or sixth round. And I'm like, no, I'm not taking Brandon Lau up here. I know he has positional availability at multiple spots,
which I love. You know me as a fantasy player. I love positional choice.
I always love that until I get into the season and the guy that I drafted for those positions isn't very good, and then I stop loving it.
I had Mike Carpenter on my team for a decade.
I have Chris Taylor this year, who's going to start every day but at a different position. So that's kind of my go at that. Other guys, I'm curious to see like a couple of those young Pirates players. I know they got Ke'Bryan Hayes is supposed to be really, really good, but I think came up for a little bit last year and didn't fully hit that stride. I saw him going lower than I expected. That was a guy that I was like kind of keeping an eye on, like, oh, he's a highly rated prospect, and I thought he would go higher, but he didn't. I also saw guys like Eric Hosmer going a lot lower than I thought.
Oh, really? Because I thought he was going higher than I thought.
I think because of the lineup that he's in, and because we know he's still a solid hitter.
He has a chance at a lot of RBIs.
And runs scored.
Yeah.
I think I was surprised, based on first base being such a top-heavy position, how low down the list he was on first base. I think I got him in one league, not both leagues. But I was like, you know what? If I can get a guy who hits 270 and he's in one of the best lineups in baseball at first base when I've missed out on the top guys, I could do a lot worse than that. So I think that's a guy, too, that I was seeing, at least to me, I thought he was going lower. A guy I'm very high on this year is Joe's Orioles, Ryan Mountcastle. I was really surprised by how good he was last year, and I love his name. Mountcastle.
Well, and infield and outfield always helps as well. My last thing, because I know we're way, way, way across it, but I'll just say this real quick. My thing is so I was never in the running for a Walker Buehler, a Trevor Bauer, a Clayton Kershaw. You know, those guys are usually keepers. Kershaw showed up in our dynasty league, but I took Ozuna instead because I needed a bat. Outside of those three, the rest of the Dodgers starters are really hard for me to get on board with. because I just don't know who's going to start.
And because it's the Dodgers and because it's Dave Roberts, lots of rotations going to happen.
It sounds like it's going to be Urias.
In and out of the bullpen.
It sounds like it's going to be Urias and May, and Gonsolin and Price are going to be in the bullpen. But I just don't like that come July, August. That scares the bejesus out of me.
You need innings.
And I love Urias. I mean, he's obviously was a World Series hero for the Dodgers, and Gonsolin as well to an extent, and May to an extent. But outside of that 1-2-3, that 4-5 position, that's going to be up for grabs potentially to game 7 of the World Series. And that in fantasy scares the bejesus of me. I'm out. Well, unless you have Walker Buehler, I'm out.
A lot of the Dodgers hitters are the same way because he has so many guys that can play all the positions that you rotate in.
Unless you have Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, run for the hills.
Right.
Cody Bellinger, I guess.
Maybe Muncy.
Will Smith. Run for the hills. Even Will Smith. Run for the hills.
I almost drafted him and I was reading some blurbs about him. He's going to split.
I grabbed Gavin Lux and I'm like,
he might play
late.
A little bit.
We'll see.
One guy, I know we have to break, Joe. One guy I'm very curious about, I think I got him in both leagues, is the airbender himself, Devin Williams.
Yeah.
Dude was unhittable last year, but it's not the closer. So if you're in a league with holds, go get Devin Williams because he's probably going to have like a sub one ERA.
Right.
But I got him in a league that has holds and that doesn't. So I'm hoping his ERA is going to be really beneficial to me in that. Or maybe he sneaks that closer job away from Josh Hader if he struggles a little bit early.
Or if he gets traded.
But true. Dude, watching that guy pitch is insane.
Yep.
I've seen all the clips. He's unhittable.
All right, the music ran out. That means we got to go. All right, that's the fantasy grind. We might come back with that in a couple weeks, couple months. We'll see. It just depends on whenever anything shakes up. I don't want to do it every single week, like we said. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this basically wraps it up for us. Opening day's tomorrow, baby. We are ready. Thank you, Travis. Like, I wish you and yours the best.
10 a.m. ESPN, Blue Jays, Yankees.
There's four games on ESPN tomorrow.
Correct. You got Blue Jays, Yankees. You have a lot of players. What's the second game? I don't
know. The second game, I believe, is Braves Phillies.
It's
Dodgers Rockies.
It's a bittersweet night for us.
Rob.
You then have Mets Nats and then Astros A's.
Yep, that's what it is.
It's a good little day on ESPN.
You know I love Corey Seager.
He thrills our fan.
You know I love
throughout the buzz season.
They're not touching the base.
This is us tomorrow.
And I think MLB Network has...
Oh, what do they have?
Well, I don't know if they have any games tomorrow. I think tomorrow's
ESPN. It didn't show up on my app what they have.
Well, you got the remote. You could probably look. I don't know if they have games tomorrow.
What is Colorado Rockies?
Because I think ESPN exclusively has the games tomorrow.
And then Friday.
Technology and stuff.
And then Friday, there's like three games. Mariners are on Friday.
Six games on Friday.
Mariners Giants are on Friday.
I'm going to pull it up because I know they have games.
You know, me and my buddy almost bought tickets to the Mariner game tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have limited schedule?
Yet? I was having a beer before we came to the show. They were playing the Giants and we almost bought left field bleacher tickets.
Getting higgy with it.
To tomorrow. We almost just said, you know what? Screw it. Let's go. I was gonna text you and say we're gonna record the Hot Corner at 11:30.
Nope.
Or sorry, Beers on Us at 11:30.
And I would have yelled at you because it's middle of the Yankees game.
And then I was going to leave that and go straight to the Mariner game. Instead, we're gonna go see Mariners Cleveland in May.
The home run Stroka.
Good old John Sterling.
So far it looks like there it is. First game is on Friday on MLB Network. It is Diamondbacks Padres at 4.
Oh, gross. All right, real quick, Mike.
Okay.
How many wins your team going to win this year?
94.
94. Joe, how many wins your team going to win this year?
81.
How many games is my team going to win this year? 6. That'll do it for us. This is the Hot Corner. We're back every single Wednesday. For Mike Lynch, Joe Fisher, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do. You got to be in to do it. Doesn't have a huge load either. My team is being ravaged so hard. I just get off at weird times. Who doesn't like a good rubby action? And a half hour later, it's still in your mouth. It's hard to get down the throat. I'm really leaning on the V. The 7 foot kid that strokes it with the acne on his back. That's a lot of time spending on your knees. I love Tommy Glavine's junk. I am so excited to slurp up my favorite pitcher in baseball. So I'm just going to put my mouth under the nozzle and just pull. You got to just clench your fist real tight and make sure it's popping out and you just bam. Michael.